Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all gathered in on Sunday morning. You're all very welcome. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, welcome to First Rathfrey Island. And equally, if you've just joined us online through our YouTube channel, good morning to you from Rathfrey Island on the Hill. And good morning to everybody. And just have some short announcements to make this morning in advance of our service. So you just bear with me for a couple of moments, please. As usual, just a reminder to the children and young people that they will leave for our children's church and our Sunday school straight after the singing of the children's hymn. And then we meet again this afternoon for a very special service commemorating the 30th anniversary of the formation of our Boys and Girls Brigades companies. The praise and thanksgiving service will be here this afternoon in the church at 3:30 p.m. And it would be a great encouragement to both captains, officers, leaders, and the boys and girls of both companies, if we could make a special effort to be here this afternoon in support of them. Please continue to pray for these companies in your time of private prayer and reflection, and keep them in your mind because they've done tremendous work here in this town and local community for 30 years. And just on that note, a word of congratulations to our Boys Brigade Company for a very successful Parents' Evening on Friday evening last. Well done, boys. This evening at 8 p.m, Youth Fellowship will meet in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. And then on Tuesday evening, the PW meets in the Church Hall at 8 p.m. And the evening is billed as a simple craft evening. And the word of advice, or maybe it's a word of warning, you're to bring a pair of scissors and a ruler if possible. So bring those with you if you intend to come along to PW on Tuesday evening. Prayer meeting on Wednesday evening and Bible study in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. as usual. Then on Thursday morning, Thursday Fellowship will be meeting in the Church Hall at 10:30 a.m. And there will be refreshments available from 10 a.m. Thursday evening, the Girls Brigade meet for their Parents' Evening, so we look forward to that. And again, we wish them well and continue to keep the GB in your thoughts and prayers as they make preparations for their final evening of this session. Then on Friday evening, we'll be delighted to welcome the Police Male Voice Choir, incorporating the Royal Ulster Constabulary GC Male Voice Choir here in the church at 7:30 p.m. I think this may be the first time they've been in the local area, so it'll be great to see you come along to that service on Friday evening. Then on Saturday morning, the BB will be holding a coffee, morning and car wash, and that'll be from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. And so it'll be great if you could come along and support that. Donations will be in aid of BB Company Funds and the Children's Heartbeat Trust. Next Sunday morning, prayer meeting at 11 a.m., as usual, followed by morning worship here in the church at 11:30 a.m., and the Reverend Moody will be in attendance to lead that service. And then finally, just to say, if you have a spare hour or two this week, or this incoming week, there's a gospel mission in Catesbridge Presbyterian Church. It commenced yesterday with a morning breakfast, and then it kicks off this evening from 7 p.m., The special speaker at each of those services is the former minister here, the Reverend Alistair Smith. So weeknights meeting at 7 p.m. and then next Sunday, weeknights 8 p.m. this evening 7 p.m. and then next Sunday is 12:30 in the morning and 7 p.m. in the evening. These are all the announcements, and I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship here at First Rathfrey Island Presbyterian Church. It's lovely to have you all gathered with us. And it's lovely to have you with us as well, if you're listening live at home or later in the CD. Just a couple of other announcements, hopefully. Tonight, in second and third Rathfrey Island at 6:30, they are having a service. And the main topic will be St. Patrick. So if you're free tonight at 6:30 to 7:30, please go along to that. Also, as David already mentioned, Thursday Fellowship is on this Thursday morning, and it's a little belated. Look at St. Patrick as well. It'll be a time of fellowship, a time of praise, a time of fun as we have a little quiz, and also focus on the message of St. Patrick from his own words, from his confessio. So if you're free this Thursday morning, please come along to that. From 10, refreshments, hopefully little buns will be made available to you for that. In Psalm 143, verse 8, we read, "Let the morning bring the word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." We gather together again today to worship a God who loves us, who cares for us. So let us praise his name as we sing our first hymn, 10,000 Reasons. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we worship your holy name. Lord, we praise you as a God who blesses us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for those blessings. Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for the times instead of acknowledging your blessings, we have moaned and groaned about what we do not have, forgetting all that you have given us. Lord, forgive us in and through the name of Jesus, because you have given us life. You gave us your Son who gave his life for us on the cross so we might have eternal life, so we live to praise your holy name. Lord, we pray you will continue to direct us so we can live our lives for you. Lord, use this service as we sing, as we listen to your word. Use it, Lord, to direct us so we can bring glory and honor to you in all that we do. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, our Bible readings today are both from the New Testament. The first one is from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 1 to 14. And then we'll be going to Mark 3, 22 to verse 30. So let us hear the word of the Lord as we find it in Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you, the one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now turning to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 22 to 30. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the young ones would like to come to the front, I will come down and speak to everyone there. How are you all doing? You doing good?
Yeah.
Good. You're all looking well? Yeah? All looking forward to, are you at school tomorrow?
No.
What? Why not? Why are you not at school tomorrow? Yeah? St. Patrick's Day. So you're getting a bit of a weekend because of St. Patrick. Very, very good.
I don't think I do, but anyway. Yeah, school's closed, Megan. I think Megan's the only young one in the church that's really disappointed that school's closed. But anyway, remember we looked at the days of creation? Well, we did here in church. I think yous were out in Sunday school. But there's the first 6 days of creation when God created everything we needed to sustain life, to enjoy life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But there's a day missing, isn't there? There's a day not there. What day is missing? Yeah. Seventh. Sorry, I'm laughing at myself. Yes. The seventh day is missing. And what did God do on the seventh day? Yeah. God rested on the seventh day. Everything was done, so God rested. Tell me this. Did God need to take a rest? Now, some people here work so hard. They're up early in the morning, late at night, and all the way in between, doing lots of things, looking after animals. They need a rest, don't they? Because they have worked so hard. Whereas a minister only works on the seventh day. But anyway, God didn't need a rest, did he? So why does it tell us that God rested on the seventh day? Well, he did that as an example for you and for others who work hard during the week, showing us that we need to take a rest. You cannot work 24/7, can you? Or you can't go to, would you love to go to school 7 days a week?
Monday.
No. You'd love to go to school on Monday. No, it's good in that way even for you to take a rest. God created us. God knows us. He showed us the pattern of taking a rest, and we need to do so. To take a rest from everything and to focus afresh on God. That is important. The God who created us, the God who made us, said, we need it. You need it. You need that rest. Now, one day Jesus was out with the disciples. You heard the first Bible reading. He was out with his disciples. Oops. And they were talking and they were wandering through the fields. Now, I'm not sure what farmers would think if they found a whole group of people walking through their fields today. But in those days, part of the law was you could go through the fields and you could even take something and eat of it. If you were hungry, you could pick something. You couldn't take loads, but take a little bit. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were taking some of the grain, rubbing it, and eating it because they were so hungry. Now, does that seem fair enough? Does that seem a good thing to do? Well, there was a bit of a problem. The religious leaders of the day were watching because it was a special day. It was the Sabbath. That would have been their seventh day. And they taught very strongly you cannot do anything on the Sabbath. And even taking that grain and putting it between your fingers, that was work. That was work. And they believed that broke. When you did that, you were breaking this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy means separate. Holy means different. Now, these religious leaders were getting so angry because the disciples of Jesus seemed to be breaking God's rules. Do you think they were? Were the disciples breaking God's rules by taking these bits of grain and eating them on the Sabbath? Do you think Jesus had made a mistake because he was quite happy with them doing it? No. Jesus hadn't made a mistake. This was perfectly fine. And Jesus reminded the religious leaders. He said, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He knows what is right and what is wrong. But these Pharisees thought they knew better. Well, later on in the day, Jesus went into the synagogue. That was their type of church where they worshipped God. But there was a man there with a withered hand. That meant he couldn't use his hand. And then if you couldn't use your hand, well, you couldn't necessarily do all the work you needed. So it would have been very, very tough. So this man was there. He had a problem. And the Pharisees thought, well, we're going to trick Jesus. Did the Pharisees sound like really good people? No, they were some of the religious leaders of the days. They were supposed to know God. They were supposed to direct people knowing God, to know God, but they didn't. They said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it right for you to heal on the Sabbath? What do you think? If you find someone with a problem on a Sunday, would you just walk on by and say, see you on Monday? Would you? Or as that Bible passage said, farmers, if there was a sheep lying in the ditch and you knew it was lying in the ditch, would you look at it and say, see you on Monday? Or would you lift that sheep out of the ditch? Well, the young farmers would lift it. Isn't that a good idea? Yeah? I think that's what would be done. And that's what Jesus would do as well. That's what Jesus was saying. You cannot see someone in need and say, hold on, it's a Sunday, I can't help them. You need to be helping as well. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He said, hold out your hand, that withered hand that could do nothing. And Jesus said, stretch it out. And it was suddenly made whole. Brand new again. So this man could do what he needed to do. How do you think the Pharisees felt when they saw this great miracle, a man whose hand couldn't work suddenly worked? Do you think they were thrilled, overjoyed? Hold on, we're wrong, sorry. What do you think they did, yeah? They were so angry. They didn't like anyone showing that they were wrong, especially the Lord Jesus, and they wanted to kill him. But Jesus showed us, he reminded us what keeping God's day, the seventh day, Sabbath or Sunday means. It means, well, what did Jesus do on the Sabbath? Yeah. He healed, which reminds us if something is wrong, if we find someone in need of help on a Sunday, should we help them? Oh, yes, we should. What else did he do? Think of the story. What else would they do? Yeah. Oh, hold on. No, anyone else? What else did they do? At the very start, what were they doing? Yeah. Sorry? Did you say robbing? No, they weren't robbing the place, though. No. No, they weren't yet. What were they doing in the picture at the very start? Yeah? They were picking corn. They were actually going for a stroll through the field. So it's good sometimes to relax, to get out there in creation, isn't it? On a Sunday. But something else they did on a Sunday, they went to the synagogue to worship God. And that's what you're doing today. That's a very good thing to do. Come together to worship God together because he is our God. Something you should seek to keep doing as Jesus did. And also to rest. Sunday's the only day the minister works, right enough. But for everybody else, you work hard at school, wherever else. So it's important you take time to rest as well. God knows you need it. So take that time to rest. Take that time to refocus on God as you come to church. Take time if there's someone around you needing help. Perhaps Sunday could be a day where you really help your parents when it comes to the lunch. Do you do that? Good. Someone check going, yes, yes. Well, maybe that's some way we could help our parents out so they could have a rest a little bit. And we could, maybe it might not be so much of a rest, I'm not sure. But, yeah. But it's good that you rest, focus on God, and help others. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it separate, because that's what your Creator says you and I need to do. So we can live our lives for him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who knows us and loves us, and a God who has given us these commandments so we know how we can live for you. Lord, help us be faithful. Help us take time to rest. Help us take time to focus on you, our God, and help us always take time to help those around us who are in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and we're going to sing our children's hymn, which is Our God is a Great Big God.
For Easter this year, we're going to have a special Easter offering. And of course, as with all offerings, of course, it's not compulsory. But this Easter offering will be for a mission. For some of the missions we already support here in First Rough Island. Again, it's another opportunity for us to support these missions together. So today I'm going to share two of the mission organizations that we support and pray for them. Next week, I'm going to share two more of those organizations that you already know so well, I'm sure. Excuse me. And then on Easter Sunday morning, you'll be able to use an envelope, which will hopefully be available next Sunday, saying Easter offering in the front of it, and you can put that into the offering plate in the morning or the evening. We're having a shared Easter Sunday service with second and third, so hopefully they'll be here as well. So all the offering will not go to us here in First, but will go to missionary organizations. So it's another opportunity for us. We pray for these missionary organizations. We can support them. And of course, one of those is Belfast City Mission. And you possibly all know Belfast City Mission more than I do, an urban evangelistic mission. 16 districts at the present in Greater Belfast with mission halls and centres used for evangelism. Again, the aim of the mission is to see the promotion of the gospel of Christ in the city. What a great aim to have, to give God the glory in all they do and they say. And they do this, again, through gospel services, Bible study, prayer fellowships, men's, women groups, youth organizations, pastoral visitations, a whole lot of different activities, not just for activity's sake, but to have opportunities for people to come to hear the gospel and to trust in Christ. So that's who part of the Easter offering money will go to. And again, the one couple that I would know from Belfast City Mission is perhaps different from yourselves, but I would have known this couple who are in Mayo Street, Paul and Lorraine McCaw. Again, Paul grew up with me in Ballylochan. So it's the missioners like Paul, Lorraine, and the others that work there every week that would be supporting through the Easter offering. I will be praying for them in a moment. The other organization we'll be praying for is one that you support already and that I know a little bit about, and that is Child Evangelism Fellowship of Ireland, CEF, part of a worldwide organization where they seek to teach the Bible to children and young people in engaging and relevant ways through direct ministry, training, church partnerships, and resources. So again, CEF, again, the workers in this area, well, who are they? Very good. David and Olivia Crutchley. Again, you've had David here speaking a few times. I think you've had Olivia as well. And as you know, Child Evangelism Fellowship, they work directly with children through camps, good news clubs, five-day clubs, those clubs outside in the grass in the middle of a community, holiday Bible clubs, primary school work, seasonal clubs like Easter clubs and Christmas clubs. They also do training for Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. Again, there's the summer training week in Kilkeel, which is an excellent week. I think I went there about three times. I just couldn't, you know, I wasn't that smart, so I had to go again. But it was an amazing course, and then I ended up helping to do the one up in Donegal. But that's an amazing course, by the way, for any of our young people. If you have a week free at the start of the summer, the CEF training week. They also do super seminars and the TCE course, a very intense course on how to teach children, which, to my knowledge, at least two people from First Rough Island have already done. So, again, that's something of CEF, two of the missionary organizations you have been supporting, and we will have the opportunity to support through that Easter offering. So I'm going to pray again for these two missionary organizations today for the work they are doing and will do over the Easter period. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have set aside their time, their lives to serve you and serve others, presenting the gospel to those, to reach the unreached within reach with your word. Lord, we thank you for Belfast City Mission. We thank you for those workers who are there on the front line, as it were, Lord, taking your word to those who perhaps would not normally go to a church, those who would not normally have heard the gospel, but they take those opportunities, Lord, in and around the city of Belfast, reaching out with your word, reaching out in love to those around so others can see something of you. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you will help them. I pray that you will bless them as the services, Lord, take place today and this evening, for the services and opportunities they have during the week as well, for the mothers and toddlers, for different clubs, for children during the week. Lord, I pray that you will bless them. Bless the missioners, those who are proclaiming your word. Lord, give them the wisdom they need. Give them the opportunities to reach out with your gospel. Lord, bless them and use them to bless those in the greater Belfast area. Lord, we also thank you for the work of CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. Lord, for those who've been set aside to reach children with God's word and also to train others so they can go out and reach others with God's word. Lord, I pray especially for David and Olivia Crutchley. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them as they continue to organize the work in this area, as they have opportunities, especially at Easter time, to go into the local schools and explain your gospel so clearly. Lord, I pray that you will bless them and use them to be a blessing, Lord, into the schools they go to. Lord, I pray for the opportunities they have for even one-off Easter clubs, which are going to be held in churches and centres, even in housing areas, Lord, in the next couple of weeks. Lord, just bless them. Bless all the volunteers that will be involved. And Lord, use them to bring your gospel to the surrounding area, we pray. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless Belfast City Mission and Child Evangelism Fellowship in the work that they are doing for you now and in the days ahead. And Lord, I pray that for First as well. Lord, just bless this church, bless the people here and the work they're involved with. Lord, I pray we thank you for those involved in the GB and the BB. We thank you that we can celebrate the 30th anniversary of Lord reaching out to boys and girls with your love, with your gospel, with the gospel message. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless even the time this afternoon. We thank you for the BB display last week, and I pray for the GB display this incoming week, that you will use it again for your glory and honor. Lord, I thank you for all those leaders who have, Lord, just poured themselves out for the boys and girls of the companies here in First. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to give us the opportunities here to reach out in the area you have placed us with the gospel. Lord, give us the wisdom, give us the resources, and Lord, to do so as well, so we can continue to be the light on the hill you call us to be. Lord, we do give you thanks for all the blessings you've given us. And Lord, I give you thanks for the offerings, Lord, that we have gathered this day. And Lord, I dedicate them to your service for your glory and honor. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to continue to worship the Lord as we stand and we sing our next hymn, Speak, O Lord. You know, sometimes people make accusations against others. Some hurtful accusations, perhaps declaring someone has said something or done something that someone has deemed to be wrong. And we can see these accusations all the time. We hear them on the radio. We see them on the TV. We read them in the paper. And sometimes we can be accused of things ourselves. Sometimes we can be completely innocent, and sometimes not. But it's not easy when someone makes accusations against us. In Mark, we're only at chapter 3 again. We're coming back to Mark after looking at the beginnings. And by chapter 3, we already find Jesus has had so many accusations made against him. In Mark 3, verse 20, he's already been accused of being out of his mind, being crazy. Imagine that. This is what people said about the Lord Jesus. Today in our reading, we see some religious leaders who come 100 miles from Jerusalem to go one step further. What accusation do they make against the Lord Jesus? Well, Mark 3:22. And the scribes who come down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub and by the prince of demons. He casts out the demons. What an accusation. That should leave us speechless, as it were. They're accusing Jesus, the Son of God, of being possessed by the devil. Beelzebub was the name of a pagan deity, the god of Akron, literally Lord of the Flies, now used by the Jews for Satan. And this is what they were saying about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It's shocking and just a little bit ironic. The demons themselves seem to be the only ones who truly recognize who Jesus is at this point. They are the ones who are declaring who Jesus really is. In Mark 1, verse 24, we read, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? This is the words of the demons. Have you come to destroy us? Because I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So it seemed the demons were able to declare who Jesus was. They knew, but the religious leaders, those who had been appointed to point people to God, did not. They were saying he was the exact opposite. So far, Jesus has been involved with casting out demons. No one can deny what he has done. Those around have seen, they have heard, even the religious leaders. So instead of trying to say, no, he didn't do it, they are claiming he is doing it by the power of the devil. And again, that was a continual accusation against the Lord Jesus. Again, in John 8:48, the Lord answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? John 10, verse 20, many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? Shocking. This is what they were saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are accused of something, and I'm sure at times you have been or you will be, remember, Jesus was accused of many awful things, and he was perfect. You and I are not. He alone did nothing wrong, yet they still made accusations against him. So when you're facing false accusations, remember to turn to him. He knows exactly how you feel. He went through it. Turn to him for the help you need, for the strength you need, because he truly knows what you're going through. And in Christ, he still accepts you. He is ready to forgive and to help and strengthen you. While others may accuse and hurt you, Jesus is there with his arms open wide. Never forget that. Never forget that. When we're falsely accused of something, we can get fairly upset and instinctively defend ourselves, seeking to get others on our side to prove our innocence. What does Jesus do here? Well, Jesus answers their accusations first with a statement, with a question, and then some parables. Then he gives an encouraging, and then at the end, a very concerning word. So the question there, how can Satan drive out Satan? Basically, Jesus is saying to the leaders, what you're saying is totally illogical. It doesn't make sense. But you know, sense is not the concern of these leaders. Logic is not their concern. They see the truth of who Jesus is. It's as plain as the nose in your face. But they cannot accept that. They cannot accept the truth. Jesus is publicly disproving of their ways, publicly condemning them as leaders, so they cannot accept him. They must do everything they can to discredit him, and that's what they're doing, even with this absolutely desperate allegation. Jesus questions the logic, and the people around know this is illogical. And he uses some parables. A kingdom is divided against itself. If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. Civil war, it will be destroyed. Satan is not out to destroy his own kingdom. Satan is out to try and destroy God's kingdom. So it's ludicrous to think Jesus is working for the devil. Yet remember, that's what these leaders were saying. Just as true domestically. If a home is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. It would be torn apart. Satan, we're told in Scripture, is many things, but he is not stupid. He does not want his kingdom weakened, destroyed. Ludicrous to think Jesus is doing the good he is doing on behalf of the evil one. But that's how desperate these leaders were at this time. Because those around who were hearing the message, who were seeing the miracles, were starting to follow Jesus, seeing that he was the authentic Messiah. And these leaders, these religious leaders of Israel, would not accept that. Jesus goes on to use the next little parable to explain what is happening. Again, he says, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob the house. Clear and logical. No one can enter a strong man's house unless someone else comes and ties him up. This seems to be a direct reference to Isaiah 49. Oops. Sorry. Slides have gone a wee bit wrong. In Isaiah 49, verse 24, we read, Can plunder be taken from warriors or captives rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors, and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. In Isaiah, God is saying, he will bind the strong man and bring his people back. So this is what Jesus seems to be referring to and saying it is what he will do. He came to defeat Satan. The devil is the strong man. He is the prince of this world. But Jesus is so much stronger. He has come to rescue his people from Satan, bring them into the kingdom of God. Oops. And that should be an encouragement for us, isn't it? That should give us encouragement. This world is full of evil, isn't it? We can see the effects of sin everywhere. But we're reminded in this dark world, greater is he that is in you than is in this world. Christ is so much greater. Jesus came to defeat the power of sin, to defeat the evil one. When he died on the cross, he dealt with sin completely. When he comes back again, all evil will be ultimately removed. And until that day, he is there to help you. He is there at your side to help you deal with the problems of everyday life. That's why, after all, we're encouraged in the Lord's Prayer to pray, deliver us from evil or the evil one. Why are we encouraged to pray that daily? Because we need his strength. You need his help, and I need his help. And when we pray and depend on Christ, we have it. We do not pray in vain. As you ask God's help each day in this wicked world, he will give it. So make sure you're asking for it. Make sure you're trusting in him. And then we find an encouragement. I tell you the truth. All right. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. What an amazing verse for us. We have all done wrong. You have done wrong. I have done wrong. Sometimes we can just take so much guilt along with us in life, can't we? But look what the Bible tells us. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. In Christ there is forgiveness. Do not doubt that. No matter what you have done in the past, in Christ there is forgiveness. From sin, that which violates God's law, blasphemies, that is speech against God, forgiven in Christ. Nothing is too bad, too shameful to be forgiven in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, ever forget that. Others may have problems with forgiving you. Christ does not. According to God's word. In Isaiah 1:18 we read, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Do we believe that? Do we believe those wonderful verses? Because they are God's word. And they're for you. That guilt perhaps you're continually carrying around with you. Remember, in Christ, when you trust in Christ, when you ask him to forgive you, he will forgive. Forgiveness, complete and true, is found in Christ. Total forgiveness. Whatever you have done can be forgiven in one way and only one way. And that is in Christ. Remember, that forgiveness is not yours by default. You must act. All right, I've moved these slides around some way, forgive me. But you must act. You must act yourself. You must admit your sins, come to God, confessing them, trusting in Christ, and he will forgive you. That's what grace is, isn't it? It's not deserved, but it's yours in Christ. Never forget that. Rejoice in that, but make sure you have claimed that yourself, that you have that forgiveness as you come to him. Confessing your sins. Total forgiveness is available when you act. And that should remind us how we should respond to others as well. Although we have to admit we find it so difficult. As Christians, let us seek to act like him. Let us be willing to forgive others what they have done to us. Christ is willing to forgive you for all you have done. We are called to do likewise to others. The Bible continually tells us to do that. This is perhaps one of the hardest things in the Bible it tells us to do. Something we struggle with and will probably continue to struggle with until we're with the Lord in glory. But we need to be praying that God will help us give that forgiveness. Because I don't know about you, but forgiveness is not something natural to us. But it is something that God should be developing in us through the Holy Spirit as we live our lives for him, as we realize the forgiveness God has given us. We should be willing to release it on others. We need to be praying that God will help us do that. Not so easy for us. God is perfect. We are not. We are all works in progress. But we need to be seeking to forgive others because that's what God calls us to do. And that is what God has done for us. And then finally, we find a warning. A warning here. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, this part of the chapter is what many people may focus on from these verses. This statement perhaps has given many people sleepless nights. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Many ask that question, have I committed that unforgivable sin? Well, what is it? What is that unforgivable sin that it talks about here? It seems to be blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. These people are coming to Jesus saying the works he is doing is not of the Holy Spirit, but of Satan. They are completely denying the work of the Holy Spirit through Christ. They are pointing it to evil. What Jesus is doing is evil instead of good. But we're told it is the Holy Spirit who empowers Jesus to do what he is doing. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he cast out demons, healed the sick. The Holy Spirit was the one who was opening people's eyes, helping them to see who Jesus was, prompting them to trust in him as Savior and Lord. John 15:26 tells us, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So here these people were blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, these leaders. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to continually deny his promptings concerning Christ. Paul, for a time, remember, denied Jesus was the Christ, went out to destroy the faith. That's what these religious leaders were doing. It was clear from the Holy Spirit's work through Jesus that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, the one who came to set them free, but they were still denying it. Not accepting him as the Son of God, not accepting and trusting in Jesus as their Savior and King, teaching others not to. They cut themselves off from his saving grace, the grace that was available. They cut themselves off from it. All sins, the Bible says, can be forgiven, but only if you accept the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, as your Savior and Lord. If you reject him, then the Bible says there is no forgiveness. Reject Christ and no forgiveness whatsoever. Wayne Grudem, a theologian, said, the person who persists in hardening his heart against God, against the work of the Holy Spirit, and against the provision of Christ the Savior, is outside the reach of God's provision for forgiveness and salvation. This unforgivable sin here seems to be ultimately rejecting Christ and the salvation that he offers, as shown, as demonstrated through the Holy Spirit. It is not accidental. You cannot accidentally do this. Blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You cannot do that accidentally. David Garland reminds us that they worry about it. The fact that they worry about it provides proof that they have committed no such sin. It seems to be a choice to completely reject the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life, a choice to reject the truth that he shares with you about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of God and that you in your sinful state need to trust in him. You may have heard the gospel message many times. If you have not accepted Christ, you have rejected him and your sins are not forgiven. And if you persist in that rejection, your sins will never, ever be forgiven. But Scripture reminds us, forgiveness is available for all. It is available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not reject him. Do not reject the Holy Spirit as he prompts you, as he shows you the sin in your life, as he shows you the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Do not reject his promptings. Accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you on the cross. Accept the teaching. Accept the promptings of the Holy Spirit and accept the Lord Jesus as Savior of your life. And no matter what you have done in the past, no matter what sins you have indulged in, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure you accept him. Accept his forgiveness and make sure you struggle. You just don't let it go, but you continue to struggle with the fact that you are to forgive others. Keep asking the Lord to help you do that. One of the most difficult things, because that's Christ's example for us, isn't it? He has forgiven you. We are called to forgive others. Not easy, but we need his help to do so. We need to be asking his help to do so as well. If he has forgiven you for what you have done, you are called to forgive others for what they have done too, as difficult as that may be. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ we have forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. Because, Lord, no matter what other accusations people may throw at us, Lord, the accusation that we have sinned against you in word, thought, and deed is so true. We have done terrible things, Lord, just going against your word. But we thank you in Christ we have forgiveness. So, Lord, I pray that you will help each one here accept that forgiveness. Lord, help them as the Holy Spirit prompts and shows the sin in their lives, in my life, that you will help us come to you, first trusting in Christ, and then as those sins are revealed, help us be quick to repent and seek your help to do right. Lord, help us be able to forgive others as we struggle with that. But you have forgiven us, so help us have that forgiving spirit for those who have wronged us too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which is Will Your Anchor Hold? And now, whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.